Greetings and welcome to a special Christmas edition of Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic community at Stanford University. These are a series of podcasts of Sunday homilies, reflections, and occasional talks given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle, OP, Director Pastor of the Catholic community. In this special edition, our readings are from the Midnight Mass of Christmas.
Sometimes as a preacher, people will approach me after Mass is over and say, "Father, you spoke right to me." That's what I want you to say when we're done, because I'm speaking right to you. How many words did you hear today, anyhow? How many sounds? We just live in a world full of words and noise. And much of it does go in one ear and out the other because it's not worthy of us to begin with. But I hope you'll give this hearing of the Word of God and my attempt to expand upon it a hearing in mind and heart. Because this is the night for the giving of gifts. Who would you say is the world's greatest gift giver? Famous for being lavish in their giving and philanthropic. Oprah. Wouldn't you? So now if you'll just look under the pew, you'll find the keys to your new Lexus. I went to Jared. Every kiss begins with K. There isn't a gift for you under the pew. But there's a whole bunch of gifts. And in our Dominican community, we have a peculiar way of blessing our food. With the prayer that we pray over our food is, "May the giver of all good gifts bless the food and the drink of his servants. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And then we eat. Well, God is famously lavish in gift giving. And in fact, both in the prophet Isaiah and repeated again in St. Paul, there's a list of seven particular gifts of the Holy Spirit that God loves in particular to give to people. I'm going to go through them briefly. And I want you to see if you have a hunger for any one of them in particular. Because a really good gift giver wants to give you what you want. But nobody can really give you what you want unless you know what you want. And you say what you want. Sometimes this kind of wanting has to do with a hunger that comes from suffering or pain, deprivation, sadness. It might be that as I list off the gifts and explain them a little bit, it might be that you really want one because the circumstances in your life make you crave that. Maybe to heal something. Or maybe not. It might just be that it's just timely. You haven't needed this gift until now, but now's the time because your life is different than it's ever been before, and now's the moment to need this gift. Or there might just be a kind of, I don't know, some sort of serendipity, some inexplicable reason that, for whatever reason, this particular gift that I might outline stands out. And you say, "Yeah, I'd really like that." So, are you with me? The seven gifts. The first one is just called knowledge, the gift of knowledge. And the gift of knowledge has to do with learning from life as you go through it. Has anybody here made the same mistake again and again? Well, then you need the gift of knowledge, dear. If you didn't learn the first time, and you repeat the mistake a second and a third time, and yeah, it's a little laughable unless it's about something really important. And there might be places in your life where you've made the same mistake again and again, and you just don't learn there's a gift. It's called the gift of knowledge. It's an infused gift from God assisting you as you move through life, helping you derive from every experience the knowledge that can be gained from it. And it makes it makes for a sturdiness of character, because you're not falling for the next thing that comes along because you learned the last time not to do that, or instead to do this. That's the gift of knowledge. It's essentially asking God to be with me every moment and help me to be conscious moment by moment, so I learn, and for every moment I'm alive, I have something to show for it. I'm more knowledgeable than I was when I started. That's the gift of knowledge. There's another one that sounds like it's called the gift of understanding. Do you ever find that you're just dense? Other people seem to get it, but you don't. Or things come easy to other people around you, but you have to struggle so to get to the bottom of things, to really understand. Maybe especially in a relationship, to understand the person you're trying to love. Or to understand the person that's so aggravating. The gift of understanding, it's sort of like the cartoon of a light bulb just appearing above your head. You just get it. And if you ask for the gift of understanding about something that you really need to understand, the Lord will be there to give it to you in a heartbeat. But you have to have an open heart and be receptive to the gift of understanding. I really am so tired of being perplexed and walking around in the dark and not knowing what to do. I need the gift of understanding. Help me understand. Does that one sound attractive to you? There's another one like it: knowledge, understanding. The next one's wisdom. They all sound sort of cranial, but wisdom's different. Wisdom has to do with kind of the idea of justice, and you know how justice is often depicted with scales, weighing things in a balance, because this is important, but that's important too. And how do I know which important thing to keep in right balance? Oftentimes, for example, I find at Stanford, with the way that we use our time, there's so many commitments upon our time. How do we decide, is this more important than that? Or how much time does this deserve? Wisdom, Solomon, you know, was famed as a judge, and we hope that judges are wise. Solomon asked for the gift of wisdom, and it was really like being successful at that game you might have played as a child. Three wishes. Did you ever play that? What's the way to win at three wishes? Tell me. Wish for another wish? Geez, at my house we wish for an infinite number of wishes. But it's the same idea. Yeah, you use one of your wishes to extend the wishing. That's essentially what Solomon did when he said, I want the gift of wisdom. Because the gift of wisdom, he thought of it as sort of like mind-melding with God. If I had wisdom, I'd always know what you were thinking. That way, I would be able to apply and do quickly what I ought to do, because I trust that you're wise. That's the gift of wisdom. Just asking God, would you point me in the direction of the best way to judge what I should do? If you feel perplexed, the gift of wisdom might be just the thing. Then there's the gift of counsel. How would you like to be able to open your heart to somebody that really understood you, even if you don't understand you? If you've ever benefited by going to a good counselor or therapist, you know the feeling. I have. And to be able to lay it all out there and have somebody else put the pieces together for you, so you're not in it all by yourself trying to figure out confusing stuff. It's wonderful to have somebody that can hear you and reflect back to you and love you. And the gift of counsel is asking God, if God will be your counselor. And if you and God can have a dialogue in your own heart. And if you've received the gift of counsel, it almost always benefits you, but pretty soon you find that you end up being that for other people. Is anybody in here that just all your friends come to you when they're upset about something or need advice? You might already have the gift of counsel. But anyway, the gift of counsel is asking God to be the counselor of your own heart, and then making yourself available to make that grace flow out of you to another who might need someone to listen to them. That's the gift of counsel. The next one, I love this one in particular, is the gift of courage. Courage is from the same word as core, heart. So courage is the gift to be really big-hearted. And I love the way C.S. Lewis talked about courage. He spoke about, you remember in the scene where Jesus is on trial before Pontius Pilate? There's this big crowd screaming and shouting, "Crucify him," and Pilate is saying, "Well, why? He hasn't done anything wrong." And then he tries to give him a few lashes of the whip or something, a kind of light sentence. He knows he hasn't done anything wrong. So he's just, and he's merciful in that he doesn't want to punish an innocent person. He's just and merciful. But C.S. Lewis says what he wasn't was courageous. Because all they had to do was threaten him and say, "Your job's on the line, we're going to tell Caesar." And the whole house collapsed. There went mercy and there went justice because there wasn't courage. Has there been any time in your life where you felt like you almost could have stood up to the challenge, but at the moment that you needed to be courageous, you just didn't have the guts? Haven't we all been there? Look under your pew and find the gift of courage. You don't have to look under the pew. All you have to do is inhale it. God will give it freely. The sixth of the gifts is called the gift of piety. And I love the gift of piety. It sounds really churchy. And as much as I spend a fair amount of time in church, I'm not promoting churchiness. The gift of piety really is just having an easy, relaxed relationship with God, the saints, the angels, with all that's divine. And because the divine is infused all over the place, including in you, it becomes kind of second nature to have an ease with other people. Because you sense the goodness in them. Even if they're really crabby or mean to you, the gift of piety can give you a sense of being so comfortable with the Lord, kind of like an old shoe or like an old couple that finishes each other's sentences. A good friend that you can sit in a room with and not even talk because just being with them is good enough. The gift of piety is like that, to be like that with God. And then consequently, because God isn't just in the sky, but God's embedded all over the place, the gift of piety just helps you be at ease with everybody. That's the gift of piety. And finally, the last one is sometimes called fear of the Lord, and I don't like calling it that. There's an alternate translation, and it's simply awe in the presence of the Lord. Or awe in the presence of life itself. And to me, Christmas is the most awesome day of the year. The story is just awesome. It brings together a crowd not unlike this one. I should have even introduced myself at the beginning. I'm Father Nathan. I work here. But many of you are not from here because Christmas brings together people from all over the place, in this place, all over the world. Not that different from the story we just read that started in Rome and then moved through Galilee and then down to Judea and then over to Bethlehem. And then once they're there, it's this group of people that could never have expected to all be found at the same place at the same time in this stable. It's kind of like that here tonight. The gift of awe just helps us to open our eyes to the fact that life is wonderful and awesome always, all the time. And that if we're not careful, we can just move through life so quickly that it just flies right by. The gift of awe helps us to appreciate and savor everyone and everything around us. When I teach the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that's all seven of them, with my students for confirmation, I'll often say, you can only have three. And then I'll call out the seven of them, and I'll say, you can come forward, we'll pray over you for 3 out of the 7 gifts, because I want them to have a hunger. I don't want them to just kind of snack at the salad bar of grace. I want them to plow into it. I want them to devour the thing that they're the hungriest for, the thing that's most attractive to them. So I'll say, I want you to only ask for 3. But tonight's no night for being stingy. It's Christmas. Ask for whatever you want. But take it in deeply and receive it. A little bit later in the liturgy, we'll have communion. Commune means to be one with. And God wants to be one with us so bad. And God might not have been able to be one with you, because you might not even be one with yourself. Tonight might be the night when we come forward for communion. If you're a communicant, when you receive communion, do it full-heartedly tonight. Be fully receptive, whatever that means for you. If you're not a communicant, come forward like this. Just make a cross with your arms and place it over your heart. X marks the spot. And you, when you come up and you come at communion like that, take in a deep breath of the Holy Spirit and say, I want you in me, and I want to be in you. And by the way, here's the gift I'd really like to have. Well, God won't deny anybody the desire of their heart, but it's up to us to say what it is. So between now and communion, what is it that you really want? What are you hungry for? What is it in you that God could most do to delight you? Which of those gifts or a combination of them would be the best gift that God could give you this Christmas?
Thank you for listening to the Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic community at Stanford University. For more information, please call us at 650-725-0080 or email us at catholic@stanford.edu. Please visit our offices at the third floor of Old Union at the Center for Interreligious Community Learning and Experiences, or mail us at the Catholic Community at Stanford, P.O. Box 20301, Stanford, California, 94309. This is Father Isaiah Mary Milano, O.P., Associate Director and Parochial Vicar for the Catholic Community at Stanford and the voice of Catholic Cardinal Reflections. Merry Christmas, and God bless you.